This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
One goal at a time. Brought to you by UOB.
It is 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Up next, we're talking about clean energy and what the marketplace is like here in Malaysia.
Yes, so this comes as the government aims to make the country carbon neutral by 2050. This is according to the recently tabled 12th Malaysia Plan, and it involves the introduction of carbon pricing to incentivize clean energy adoption, encouraging better energy efficiency, overall reducing greenhouse gas emissions, right? And I think it's important, therefore, to take a look at where we actually are at, because according to MIDA, we have, well, currently, renewable energy contributes 18% to Malaysia's energy mix. And so the plan here is to increase the share of renewable energy in its installed capacity to 31% in 2025, 40% in 2035. And that's pretty much where we're at. So I think the question here is how we move forward.
And that's not a question we're equipped to answer. So we do have someone to discuss this with us, but we'd like to hear from you. Are you interested in adopting clean energy? Share your thoughts with us. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Tam Chion, who is Group Chief Executive Officer at Detrolic Energy. Chion, thanks for being with us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with, when we talk about clean electricity, clean energy, what exactly does that cover? What kind of services fall under that?
Well, clean electricity includes from energy coming from renewable sources, such as wind, solar, geothermal, hydro, and in some countries, even nuclear, right? So when we talk about clean energy services, it's not only generation of electricity from clean energy, and it involves the delivery of clean energy from the source up to the place of consumption as well. So it includes all the things in between, which there are multiple things that you need to do in order to transfer the generation up to the point of delivery, including energy storage, you know, ancillary service. You have to do energy efficiency. It can be a form of green energy as well. So you can do, you can procure clean, green electricity supply. So all these are actually services to deliver the green electron from the source up to the place of consumption.
So, you know, there is a lot of buzz around energy being the new tech industry that people are looking to. I was wondering if you could tell us more about this.
Yeah. If you look at energy sector, energy has been invented a long time ago, right? I think Thomas Edison installed the first power plant in New York in the late 19th century. So we are almost 140 years old in the industry. So it has become so much ingrained in our life. You know, it has become barely noticeable. We don't even feel it. We can't see it, and we forget about it almost, right? But the emergence of renewable energy in the recent years have put the spotlight on energy sector, where now things can become a bit disruptive, and there's a lot of calls to embrace renewable energy. And you can see a lot of emergence of a lot of companies that jump on the bandwagon, energy brand bandwagon. Some are outside your traditional energy business, which is coming in. And even you see the emergence of companies like Tesla and things like that. So these are all result of the revival, I would say, of the electricity sector, and things are getting a bit exciting.
What are some of the larger aims of using renewable energy? I mean, when customers come to you for solutions, what are they generally looking for?
So when we look at energy sector accounts for more than 33% of the global carbon emission. So carbon emission actually come from energy carbon emission come from transport, industry, buildings. So people come to us to resolve their carbon emission issues. So people, companies or our client comes to us to look at their scope 1 emission, scope 2. If you're not familiar with scope 1, scope 2 emission, these are basically like your indirect emission from your business operation, your direct emission, emission that comes from your manufacturing of certain products. So people come to us with the aim of reducing their consumption of dirty energy, we call it, right? Opposite of green is dirty energy. So, and also neutralize their carbon footprint from their indirect emission. So we serve industry customer, a wide range of industry customer. We have customers coming from aviation industry, education, healthcare, manufacturing, data centers, shopping malls, even local governments and utilities is also a company in some countries. So even we see more and more companies coming, even heavy emitter like cement and steel company, they come to us to ask us, how can you help us to offset the carbon from our manufacturing process?
So tell us then, where do you enter the picture, especially in the Malaysian and regional market? I think you gave us some examples there, but tell us more about the company.
Dietrolic Energy, we started in 2009. Our early business is actually solar business. So we are a downstream solar company. We do installation, commissioning of solar installation. That was where we started. We started regionally because we started too early, so there was not much business in Malaysia to talk about during that time. So we very quickly go out regional. We do some small projects in the beginning. And Malaysian market have been always been our main market. And for the past 12 years or so, we have evolved into a clean energy service company. Currently, we have offices in 6 countries. Apart from Malaysia, we are in Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, China, and Bangladesh as well. So we count not less than 8 Fortune 500 clients as our customers. And some of our achievement is we have developed 2 largest solar farms, one in Malaysia, the largest, and in Bangladesh, the largest. And our company, we generate, as our part of our energy portfolio, we generate about 362,000 megawatt hour of electricity per year. So this is, to put it into context, this is equivalent to about 70 to 80,000 houses, average houses in Malaysia. So now we have expanded our clean energy services into, you know, the traditional solar. We are also doing some wind project development. We are doing energy storage, energy efficiency. In some countries such as Singapore and Philippines, we sell green electricity to our customers as well.
Right. So having been in all of these different markets, what have you learned from being a regional player? What are some of those key differences and similarities when it comes to what different countries might need and want from renewable energy?
Every country is unique, but they have a lot of similarities. All of them have same aspiration, but the market, the electricity market design is different. So they do it a bit differently, but all of them wants what we call security of energy, affordability and sustainability, what is commonly known as trilemma, right? So a lot of policymakers use this term. So to give you 2 extreme case, right? We operate in Bangladesh, a very backward country, developing country. So their grid is very unstable. So they have a lot of brownout. They have less generation. The generation cannot keep up with demand. So a lot of instability and brownout and power quality are very bad. The electricity price is almost similar as Malaysia, but they are willing to pay a little bit more to increase their renewable energy generation greatly, right? Why so? Because if you look at their needs, Bangladesh is a climate challenged country. Right, so the climate change affect them the most because they are low lying. They don't want sea level to rise. They will displace the population. So the government has decided we want to increase our renewable energy generation. So they are willing to, you know, sacrifice a bit of affordability. They want to achieve something else, right? So if you look at the other end, like a very advanced market, for example, Singapore. Singapore is a small country. They have no renewable energy sources, not much. You know, if you cover up the whole Singapore, you can only have a few percent of renewable energy. So they have the same aspiration because of their commitment, right, to the global, in a global stage. So they have gone as far as wanting to buy electricity from other countries, from Australia, even 5,000 kilometers of cable coming over to Singapore. So you can see they have the same aspiration, but they have different ways of doing it, right? Malaysia, in the context, is much more blessed in that sense.
So we're having this conversation in the context of Malaysia being supposed to become a carbon neutral country by 2050. How can we increase our renewable energy capacity to meet that goal?
Well, when the goal is zero, there isn't much compromise that you can do, right? As we have mentioned in the beginning, Malaysia, currently the committed capacity yet to be built is about 24% of capacity mix. So we will get there very soon. So the target is 31% by 2025. So I think one of the important things is to remember, for a lot of people, they are not aware of the difference between capacity mix and energy mix. Energy mix is how much energy that you generate from the system. Capacity mix is how much, you know, equipment you put into the system. So if you look at the capacity of 24% currently, 31% in a few years' time, 2025, we have achieved very good capacity building in terms of renewable energy in Malaysia. So how do we get to the next phase? Because expert has agreed that 20 to 30% is a capacity building stage. To have a breakthrough, how do you do that? Right? Because the system will become unstable, grid, you cannot take too much intermittency from renewable energy. So I think one of the ways to increase is to change the way we look at renewable in the grid. Because currently, our renewable energy is measured together with the conventional energy. And conventional energy have a different characteristic. They are a firm power, right? They can generate 24 hours a day, but renewable, you can't, right? So if you measure it together in one basket, you can't find a solution. You always hit the limit because it's always 30%, right? But if you put it into two baskets, one is firm capacity, one is variable capacity, and you focus on the energy mix, then you can increase the capacity much, much more, and you can reach the target much earlier.
Chion, we just have about a minute left with you, but at the moment, how close are we to that 100% zero carbon electricity here in Malaysia? And what initiatives can the government take on in order to create a future-proof electricity market?
Current energy mix is about 3 to 4%. It's quite low, right? Capacity mix is 31% target. So it's quite low, 3 to 4%. So by 2025, we estimate that it will get to 8% energy mix. By 2030, we may get to 10% energy mix. So from 2030 to 2050, it's about 20 years. So from 10% to 100%, you don't get to skip anything. 10 to 100%, 90% to achieve in 20 years. So we have a big challenge in front of us. So how do we create a future-proof market? I think we have to allow the renewable energy to discover the price, right? The market have to be redesigned probably to allow us to be side by side with the conventional energy without setting a fixed ceiling and let it be competitive against the conventional energy. And we will see how the price will compete. If it's competitive, let it be. Right, so that's how we create a future proof. The future is already fixed. It's going to be a renewable energy future. So how do we achieve it? That is the main question.
Chion, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Tham Chion, Group Chief Executive Officer at Dietrolic Energy, weighing in on clean energy. Do share your thoughts with us. You know the numbers. You've been listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
One Goal at a Time was brought to you by UOB, building sustainable smart cities.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.